sound sleep, too. Drool all over my keyboard. Wake up, got no fucking idea where I am.
I'm once in the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I'm watching the games until it dies in play.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
Okay. Alright. Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 66. This is C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And you need to turn off the video games, pause your game, turn off the TV, turn down the radio. We got some serious stuff to talk about this week. No, we don't. Go ahead and turn all that crap back on. Commence what you were doing. I thought we were going to take things serious here. And no, we don't.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of crap again. So, let me start out with the first crap was a correction from last week. We talked about X-Men Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things that I pointed out, not only is it not fun, so this is kind of besides the point, but for, you know, the sake of being correct, apparently Wolverine does heal, thanks to Final Dragoon for pointing this out. He, I guess, watched a buddy of his play for 12 hours or some crap, I don't know, he was talking about it on IRC, and Wolverine does heal, and here's why I didn't figure it out when I was playing, but I could have sworn I saw it before. I must have been on the phone or something, because he heals at level 1, 2 hit points per second after being idle for 5 seconds.
It's also a passive thing, so it's not on your tree.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah. I didn't see
it. That's why we couldn't see it, because it just naturally comes to you.
Yeah, so I kind of missed out on that one. And apparently it goes up, too. You get bonuses at like level 7, 12, 17, and 22. Goes from 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 hit points per second. It all stays with the 5-second idle time, though. And I'd never sat there and stood still for 5 seconds. So that's probably, I'm sure, the explanation why I missed it the second time. And could have sworn I saw it the first time. I was probably on the phone with somebody and stopped playing and just happened to notice it, you know. So I guess we have to take back all the bitching about Wolverine not healing.
Which is good, though, because that's just ruthless.
Absolutely, it is. But it still doesn't make the game any more fun to me. Like, I want to go standing around for 5 seconds, and then, you know, you got 100 hit points at level 1 almost anyway, and that's another 30 seconds or so you'd have to, or 50 seconds or so you'd have to go standing around.
Mm.
That's sad, though. I really thought it was going to be a better game. Not too happy about that. Now, we do have an awful lot of news this week. Some really interesting stuff. This one touches me personally, because I feel this should have been done a long time ago. And this touches the almighty Kobar here, too, personally, because this is very recent and very much bullshit for the time frame. There's an Xbox owner named Sean Burke who's suing Microsoft on behalf of all U.S. Xbox owners for defective drives. Now, I know that this has clearly affected my Xbox.
Yeah. Mine just a little bit. But, I mean, when you have a brand new Xbox, day one out of the box, a brand new game, day one out of the box, and it does that dirty disc error, there's something wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you tried to watch any movies on it yet?
No. I don't have the movie thing. I got the PS2
as well
as a normal DVD player.
I got a little story about that. And we'll get to that when we're talking about the movies. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, I'm going to highlight it so I don't forget to tell this story, because I was pissed off at 5 a.m. this morning. I'm going to, in fact, mark it so I don't forget to mention it. Little story about my Xbox and its drive, so I'm not too pleased. Anyway, I couldn't find any other details on this story, like where you can sign up or whatever, but I'll tell you what, I want my 50 cents out of this.
I was just about to say, these class action suits, they're kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Because, you're punishing the hell out of the company that did something wrong and they gotta pay out this exorbitant amount, but your cut ends up being like a dollar.
Exactly. They make way, way far more in sales of all of these crappy Xboxes and saved money on shoddy DVD ROMs than they have to pay out in the end.
Yeah.
We even have a quote here. Let's see, the defective Xbox stops working. This is straight from the thing. The defective Xbox stopped working after minimal usage, after unreasonably, unconscionably unusually and unexpectedly short amounts of time.
That's...
Which is a pain in the ass to read, but it's true. It's yeah. very true. I mean, talk yeah. about short first amount day. Of time. First day. And you even have one of the best drive.
Yeah.
Yours has the Samsung, is it the same? Yeah, the Samsung drive, I think. I'm pretty sure that's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I have the one that's regarded as the worst one, the Thompson drive. And since I've had it, I've had problems with it. It worked fine for like a week, and then I started to notice it happening, and ever since then it's been happening. Sometimes in the middle of a game. That's the best. You know, when you haven't saved in like an hour and a half.
Mine has only happened when I first put it in. I gotta, if the disc is in when I turn it on and try to play, that's when it happens most. It's See, right away when I turn it on.
I never leave a disc in mine. And it's most of the time that first time too. The first two or three times even sometimes, finally it'll just take the disc. And, it's no good. No good. The worst in the middle of a game. Happens all the time. More than I would like to. I mean, not a ton, but still more than it should. Absolutely more than it should. For something that, I baby my consoles. I take such good care of this crap, and it falls apart on me. So, mm-hmm. I'm kind of bent because, you know, I had a Nintendo that still works, you know, today, wherever it may be. Now, I guarantee it works.
Sometimes you had to blow instead of...
Yeah, yeah.
to get all the dust out and whatnot.
But hey, it worked still. You know, it wasn't like the console was broken. I was making a bad connection. My bad, you know.
Yeah.
Let me clean it up a little bit. You know, my Genesis never had a problem. Years and years and years. Beat the hell out of that thing. Barely used my Xbox, my PS2. I mean, at least by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them ran into problems. So, I think these companies do need to be punished. And Microsoft actually... had a lie, I mean a response to this. They said, we've designed and manufactured the Xbox with the highest quality standards, and our customer satisfaction is very high.
Yeah, right.
My ass.
Especially the customer satisfaction part. I mean, I don't know anybody that hasn't had problems.
Me neither. I don't know one person that has an Xbox that works 100% all the time like it should. At least for a reasonable amount of time. After a couple of years, I can understand some problems arising, but... Nobody I know that has had an Xbox for a relatively short amount of time can tell me that it works perfectly. I've never heard that. We've also got, speaking of lies, my favorite company coming up here, Sony, the PlayStation Portable. Remember, I think a few weeks ago we actually brought up the fact that this thing is supposed to, like, they finally had specs and numbers. I can't remember if we talked about it or we just read it and thought about bringing it up.
You know, I think we actually just saw it and then didn't.
I think so, too. I think that's what happened, too. But they did say, in any case, a couple weeks ago, they said, like, 4 to 6 hours this thing is supposed to run on batteries, which was a major concern for everybody, was the battery life of this thing, being that it's disc-based and it has this, you know, fairly large screen, it looks wonderful, and has, you know, wireless connections and all this good stuff. The head of Sony now, he's the guy that brought you the PlayStation, Ken Kutaragi?
Something.
However like the hell. Kutagari.
It's a Japanese name.
Yeah. Kutaragi? Whatever. Anyway, I read a whole book, actually, on this guy and how he created the PlayStation. Basically, like, everything he went through and everything from, like, working... Like at Sony before, and then the dream of the PlayStation and the issues. I can't remember what the hell it was called. Visionaries at Sony or something like that. And what sucks is I don't have it anymore, but it was kind of an interesting ring. Anyway, he's like top dog now. He came out and said, just like last couple days, that a graphically intensive game will drain the battery fast.
So in other words, every game they've been
exactly.
really pushing.
Any game that you're going to want to buy for this thing... You're gonna get, you know, greatly reduced battery time, which I think is a bunch of bullshit.
And, you know, the only reason that Game Boy has been on top of the market for so damn long is their battery life.
That is
the Game Gear, the Nexus?
Lynx.
All those were perfectly good.
Turbo Express.
Perfectly good systems with perfectly good games, but their battery life didn't hold a candle to the Game Boy.
Yeah.
And they fell apart.
You're right. None of them can touch that. Even my original Game Boy lasted for ages, it felt like, compared to a Game Gear and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, and then now we've got this lithium-ion battery in our Game Boy Advance SPs, and I've never had the thing run out of battery. I don't think I'll play it a lot of the time while I'm playing another game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there and I'll die in some kind of online first-person shooter or whatever, and I gotta wait for the round to end.
Right.
So I'll have my Game Boy sitting right there, and I can play like a full day of gaming. You know, that, I mean... 8 hours or so sitting here playing both of these games, and my Game Boy is just chugging along just fine. You know, I'll plug it in, forget about it, pick it up whenever I need it. I got 10 hours or so.
And that's important with a portable system.
If not the most important.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. And with Sony claiming 4 to 6 hours, and
actually getting much less.
Yeah, and I mean, what they're telling me here is, like, if I'm going to play Tetris, I might get 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah. With headphones and...
Oh, yeah.
And,
no wireless multiplayer enabled.
Yeah.
You even have to have the screen set to a certain brightness to meet their requirements for their 4 to 6 hour thing. And, Sony did say it was possible to improve upon the design, but they never, like, actually came right out and said, we're going to redesign it at some point. Right? Which I have a strong feeling that that's going to happen. Can you see the PSP come out and whenever the hell it comes out? Like, well, I actually can't remember the date, but a year later, can't you see, like, a PSP SP version or something like that? You know, and it's probably got a much longer battery life for at least up to the 4 to 6 hours they promised us. And then everybody's got...
It's still not that much.
No, it's not, but it's reasonable. 4 to 6 hours of playing something like Metal Gear Acid six is reasonable. Yeah, four is a little short. And that sounds ridiculous to some people.
You guys can't sit there and play that game all day.
What? Watch me.
What are you talking about? You got kids that are going on some road trip. They're in the back of the car for the next 8 hours because they're going somewhere.
Absolutely. You got a plane trip across the world, across the country,
yeah, whatever.
Couple states over.
Those are what these types of systems are for.
Exactly. You know, and unfortunately, we didn't have this when I was in school because it would have been great during lunchtime. We played D&D in the library and then finally hit up the computer lab after a couple years and started playing Doom and Scorched Earth. But it would have been nice to be able to play some kind of crap like this, too. But, yeah, I'm not too happy about this at all. Because it just feels like this is Sony's thing. This is what they do. The PlayStation 2 is going to be able to rule the world as we get closer to the date.
It can
control missiles and launch the fucking space shuttle.
It can push more polygons than the world has.
You know, yeah, exactly. And now we get down to like, well, yeah, it can almost handle Sly Cooper 2 with some decent draw, you know, like with minimal pop-up, you know, yeah, it can handle a reasonable game. It plays Tetris. Buy our console. I swear to God, I'm just not...
I'm actually glad for this. Because now the Nintendo's DS has a chance.
Do you think it really has a chance, though? I think that nobody cares. I'm convinced. I'm rooting for Nintendo, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I like Nintendo. You know, they're old school, so Nintendo in my mind must always exist, like Sega, which I've learned to live without. You know.
Well, they're still around.
I know, but I like having a piece of Sega hardware around that I can fanboy all over the forums with, you know? I like Sega.
Not to mention, most of the stuff they put out is sports these days.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I think, well, like I was saying earlier, all those systems, they fell apart because they couldn't hold up to the battery life. I'm convinced that's a huge part of it.
It is, but I'm convinced that this generation doesn't care. The PlayStation Nation doesn't give a shit.
That's
if it's got
true,
Sony's
it
brand on it, they gotta have it. They don't care if it gets 20 minutes of battery life. They'll figure something out. They'll get add-on battery packs and whatnot and make it weigh like 40 pounds. And
Sony is their Nintendo.
A wheelbarrow to roll it around with you, you know? You're right. It is. It is. And call me an old crusty man, you know, for whining about the good old days and how much better we had it with our companies that cared, but I'm sorry, it just seems... It's so true when you look at it, from at least my point of view.
I think Nintendo still cares. They're just making, the past couple system generations, they made some pretty poor choices.
They have.
And that's why they're falling apart. But I think they're one of the few in the console industry that still do care.
Absolutely. They just...
I mean, look at the games you can get for the GameCube. They're a far fewer number. They're a little more higher quality. Not to say that there's not other games on PlayStation that are high quality, but the ratio is a lot higher on the GameCube.
It is, but there's so few games. I mean, I look at my Game Boy, or GameCube collection, and I'm looking at like 4 or 5 games versus my PlayStation games, which are like, holy crap, 15 to 20? You know, an Xbox, I've probably got about 12. It's just, there should be more good games on it. There should be games I'm dying to play, and there's just not that many. There's a few, they're great though, the few that, you know, that are good, I think they're just amazing, but they're not, I don't play Mario Sunshine, I didn't like that. That should have been a no-brainer. That should have been a key buy. You know, Zelda, I didn't even like that. I'm not counting that because I don't have that anymore. You know, and I didn't like that either though, so.
I think that was another one of those mistakes that are, for the child thing that Nintendo was going for.
And they haven't learned their lesson, as we're going to talk about a little bit later. Because we do have more Zelda news coming up. This one, you're all over. The Half-Life.
I cannot understand this. Half-Life 2 is going to the arcade. And, fine and dandy, there's lots of shooting games in the arcade, but how is, this is not an arcade game.
Well, they're gonna make it an arcade shooter, I guess.
Oh, so they're gonna use, like, the Half-Life 2 engine and build a whole new experience? Like
yeah, exactly. It's gonna be a different interface, cause it's gonna be, I'm sure you're gonna have-
Is it like a rail shooter now?
I don't know. I haven't been able to get any details other than what we have on the notes here, which isn't much. I'm so, like, I don't care.
Lost?
I mean, yeah. Well,
I'm lost.
I'll tell you what's going to happen right now. This won't make it out of Japan.
Probably not.
There's no way. There's no way.
And if it does, it'll be very limited.
Yeah, we're going to have like 3 of them in the U.S. somewhere.
I mean, we actually have quite a few arcades because of the casinos.
Yeah, but they're not very good.
No, they're not.
I mean, it's, you know, all these old games. Like, I still find, like, beat up Mortal Kombat 2s, you know, in these arcades. And I just can't imagine.
Or you're spending $3 to play one race of some snowboarding
Hydro
game.
Hydro Thunder or something, yeah.
That was the death racing. Of arcades in America. Charging $4 for a single race.
Yeah, nobody wanted to do that anymore. And I can't blame them. I can't stand it. I'm pissed when I have to pay $1 to play something like Hydro Thunder, 75 cents or whatever the hell it is. It's too much.
When we were kids, a quarter would last you for days as long as you were good at the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You could beat games on a quarter, you know? Now, you can't. You can't. They're like $1.50 to play for 10 minutes and then they make sure you die somehow.
Or like the racing games, you get one race. First, last
place,
no matter what.
That's what I don't understand. How come all those games now have it cut down to one lap or one race? And like, regardless if you win or not.
Yeah.
That's what really bothers me, you know? It's like, okay, guys, we know you're trying to squeeze every dollar out of this, but, you know, I paid $1 for that one race. Let me go until I lose. Just crank up the difficulty. I know these are geared towards kicking your ass so you have to shove more money in. But God damn, that's ridiculous.
It is.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, this is supposed to be, Taito's bringing this to the arcades on their Type X hardware, which actually runs an embedded version of Windows XP, which is why it's going to be so easy to port over for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's got a 3 different game modes, a story mode for single player, and then the actual, I guess, cool part of it is a mission mode, which is like a cooperative play, and battle mode, which sounds like deathmatch to me. The cool thing about it is that it will play, it's going to connect with arcades all over the country, of Japan, that is.
Right.
And you can compete or play with other people in other arcades. Which is pretty neat. You know,
well,
a lot of games, they're...
I'd be interested to see how they choose to control it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't sit a mouse there.
Yeah, it wouldn't last a week.
I suppose you could use, like, a regular arcade-style control system
wouldn't quite work. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. Not too excited about it myself. Half-Life 2 fans, though, I bet they're going to go ape shit, and they're going to die to play this, and they're going to, like, take vacation to Japan just to play this game for 10 minutes. I don't know. I don't think it's going to make it out of Japan, though. So far, the cabinet designs are cockpit-style, widescreen display, and 5.1 audio. So it's, I mean, you know, they're going all out on the cost of this thing, but...
And I'm sure it'll do pretty well in Japan. They love their arcades.
And it's Half-Life. So,
yeah.
It's going to do really well overall. I don't think this can go too bad for them. I just don't think it's going to go so great that it's worthy of bringing here. We'll see, though. You know, they say that if it goes well enough, that it will be brought over here. They plan on worldwide distribution if it goes good. We shall see. We also have... This is great because didn't we mention this at one point, or at least we saw it?
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned it on the show, but this was freaking us out. There's these controllers that look like N64 controllers being sold in the mall. And you know how you go to the store, you can buy those like Atari controllers that plug right into the TV and you can just play old games? Well, this was the same for, like, they weren't just Nintendo games, but there was like Mario Brothers and stuff
on
this thing.
Donkey Kong was on there.
And nowhere did I see Nintendo.
Nintendo. This had nothing to do with Nintendo anywhere on it. I remember looking at the boxes of this thing going, is this legal?
And I knew damn well that Nintendo would never allow it, even if their name was on it, and certainly not without their name on it.
I can see them doing it in the future.
They're very protective of all their crap. Hell, they're still fighting NES emulation.
Which is basically what we're talking about here.
Right.
You know, I mean, these are... I didn't see any new games on there, did you? I only saw, I thought, Nintendo games.
They are way protective of their shit.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's only because they re-release all this crap, though, so they can keep milking us for more money. Their whole big thing is that, you know, they've got Donkey Kong and Zelda coming out on the Game Boy Classic series, and then you look at, you know, you're outside of Electronics Boutique at your mall, and you're looking at a $20 Zelda cartridge and $20 Donkey Kong cartridge. Then you look across, just out the doors of Electronics Boutique, and you see this controller, which plugs into your TV, which has those games and more. You know, it has a bunch
of
games.
$15.
You know, yeah, it's not. I think it's more. I want to say $40.
No, I don't remember.
I don't know. But I tell you what, it wouldn't be too bad to pick one up now, and I'm like dying to go look at them to see if it's like worth my time and effort and money. You know, it's
probably gone.
It probably is, but I don't know. This place kind of lags ass, so we might get lucky and pick one up. But anyway, the point of this whole story was Nintendo just went to court to get this thing shut down because it's not licensed by Nintendo. And what I don't understand, why did they even have to do that? Why would they have to go to court to get this thing out of the market?
I don't know. I don't know how they got the permission to start making them and get a business license.
I don't. Well, probably because it was unknown. You know, it's like something comes over and they have it. Like when Customs gets piles of this shit, they don't know what it is unless they have, like, a notification.
Right, but the stands in the mall, they have to get business licenses. They have to talk to the government and say, we want to sell this product in the mall.
Yeah, but maybe they were just saying video games. They didn't say pirated Nintendo.
That's true.
Emulated thingy, whatever it is. I don't know what quite to call that
that's
thing.
That's true.
Self-contained game unit? Yeah. I don't know what to call it.
That's so probably
it's
pretty
a
good
thingy.
Yeah.
So, anyway... yeah, I don't see how Nintendo even needed to go to court. I really don't. This thing's called the Power Player, or known as the Super Joystick. They had to go to court to get this thing deemed illegal, when they own the copyright on all these games. All the software they're running, minus, I suppose, the emulator.
I think there was more than just Nintendo games.
Probably.
I think I saw a few that weren't. But
they should have been able to shut them down without all that.
Yeah.
They really should have. I mean, and this just kind of sucks, I think, for Nintendo. They had to go through all this crap. You know, to get this thing shut down.
On the flip side, though, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one, because these are such old games. It's abandonware. Come on, let it go.
It's Nintendo's still making money on them.
They shouldn't,
but they're re-releasing, you know, Zelda for the Game Boy Advance.
And that's fine. If they want to do that, do something to it. I think if you're going to re-release an old game, put some elbow grease in it. Shine it up a little bit.
But it doesn't... My point about it is they still own it. It's their copyright. Zelda is Nintendo's. You don't see, you know, Sega's new Zelda game coming out. That would just be wrong. You know, it doesn't happen.
From a legal standpoint, they shouldn't have any trouble. But I'm saying, if a game's that old, give it up. Let us play it for free.
I could see, now that's one thing. Let us play it for free. If Nintendo had a thing on their site where I could go there and get the ROMs from Nintendo of games that they wanted to release to the public for free, I'm all for it. But until that happens, I still feel, you know, this is software that somebody created. It's just as good as any other game out there, if not better. You know, look at the original Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going to compare that to, you know, let's say a new game. Let's say Roller Coaster Tycoon, right? Okay, we're going to take it like that. And we're going to say, you know, Zelda's still a good, fun game. I would still pay to play something like that if there was a new game just like it. You know, a lot like it anyway. Using the same gameplay mechanics, the same characters, I'd love to play a new game just like it. I don't give two rat's asses about this new game, though. Who cares how old it is? It's still fun. Somebody still poured their heart and soul into it. They should deserve to keep all the copyrights for as long as however that is issued for. Which isn't as long as I thought it was, I think. But there should be a limit, too.
It, though.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, look at Disney. Disney holds all the... And it's their fault, anyway. They keep pushing the limits longer.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing they have all that money to keep those senators happy. Damn Disney. Spawn of Satan. Them and Queenix.
I see what you're saying, but you know what? They should have allowed this company to do it, in my opinion. The company should have asked.
I think they should have had to pay royalties to Nintendo for everyone.
Well, yeah.
Sure the company never asked.
Well, probably not.
I'm sure they didn't.
But Nintendo would never have said yes anyway.
Yeah, they wouldn't have, and that's their thing. But you know what? If they would have said, fine, screw you, called Sega. Listen up. We want to make this thing, Nintendo told us to go fuck ourselves. We want Alex Kidd and Fantasy Zone and all these Sega games. We want these to put on this thing here. And maybe Sega would say yes. Maybe Sega would say, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Fine. They move, you know, there's other companies that have old games too. Look at Electronic Arts. They had a bunch of old games back, you know, that would have played just fine on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They could have called them up and say, look, we want to make this product. Look, EA would probably stand less of a chance than Sega allowing them to do it though, but still, I mean, they could have gone a legal route to do this, you know.
But I'm just saying I don't understand this mentality of holding on to these games that are so old.
Well, I do from a intellectual property standpoint. You know, like, that was, somebody poured their heart and soul into that for years. You know, a team of people. Why should it be any less? Why should it be more like devalued now? But no, they're still making money off of it, though. Not only is the franchise still alive, but they just re-released it on the Game Boy Advance. You know? And I bought it. I own Legend of Zelda for the NES Classic Series, you know, on the Game Boy Advance.
The guys that made that didn't see a dime of them re-releasing it on the GBA. They probably don't even work for Nintendo anymore, aside from Miyamoto.
Yeah. We know he does. But still, it just seems like, I don't know. If Nintendo wants to make that happen, they need to do it themselves. And companies have. Some companies have come out and said, you know what, this ROM is legal. Go ahead and do whatever the hell you want with it, because we're done with it. You know, Nintendo has plans for this. They're still working on Zelda, you know? So I think that they should be able to hold on to it. Charge what they want. It's their game. Put on the damn website for $1. You know, $5. Whatever that you gotta do to justify it, Nintendo. That'd be fine with me, too.
That'd be okay.
You know? Yeah, I think so. And they would have to update something, maybe, like the copyright label on the front of it. Like they did on the Game Boy one, it didn't say copyright 1985. It says copyright 1985, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So, they might have to change that. I'm sure they would. But at least we could have mostly legitimate emulation of it, you know? Like of a real, known, good ROM from Nintendo. So that went on a lot longer than I thought. I want to go pick one of these things up, though. I'm thinking about it, because, damn, now I can't get them. Now I gotta have it.
If you want it, we better go today.
I know, it'll never happen, and I don't need to spend any money anyway, because I don't have any. Which is why I was playing Free Crap. I tried to play Free Crap this week, anyway, like Guild Wars. Guild Wars had a world preview. They had it up for like 3 or 4 days, and it was cool how it worked, too. You only had to download like some tiny ass little thing that would,
connect. It was kind of cool.
It was quick, too. You know, like just real fast. A little 62K program. You run that, it downloads the client. Bam. You're making your guy, and as you're working on that, it's downloading the first part of the shit for you
I
to do.
I do really like the streaming thing they're doing.
That was cool. I mean, it was amazing. Like, on my end, anyway. On a modem, it's not going to help you as much, but it's going to help some.
Yeah.
On my end, it was just fantastic.
I was doing it right when they opened, so the bandwidth was kind of dropping and going back up. I'm sure they were getting fucking slammed.
Oh, I'm sure.
When I was doing it. This game, it's interesting.
I didn't find anything special about it. It seems like every other MMORPG so far, at least the part that I saw, which was admittedly very, very, very little.
I will say, I don't think this can be classified as an MMORPG.
Oh, what is this all about?
This is more like... Guild Wars is more like an expanded Diablo. It's missing a lot of the immersion, a lot of the skills as far as like crafting and all these little tiny things that bring people back to MMORPGs every day. And make them play them for 5 years.
I see. Now,
I'm not saying that this is an MMO. It is an RPG.
You just said it wasn't. So wait. Not, so the Hello Kitty World Online one.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Is or isn't an MMORPG?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. It is an MMO.
I just had to bring that.
And it is an RPG, but it's not the same as EverQuest and Final Fantasy and Anarchy Online and all of these.
Okay.
Those are persistent whole worlds.
This is a persistent whole world.
No, it's you go into town and that's persistent and you talk to whoever you want. Once you leave that town, you go on this little instanced mission with your people. And you can warp wherever you want to, and it's a lot more like Diablo than
But there
this.
Isn't like just random zones that you can wander around with people
no,
in?
No, I don't think so.
You know,
not from what I've been able to gather.
Now, granted, neither one of us, I don't think, have played this. But I put probably, it sounds like, far less time into this than you did. And the problem was it was only available over the weekend.
Yeah.
When I was at work.
Oh.
My days off come, and it stopped. And I wanted to put a solid day into
it. This seems like it's a really cool game. I will give it that. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying that this is everything that Diablo probably should have been.
Yeah.
If
that would have made a hell of a Diablo.
If all the abilities, all the
skills.
No,
abilities.
The technological advancements were there.
The tech tree. Yeah. Okay.
No, like servers and.
Oh, okay.
Technological advancements.
I'm on gameplay stuff.
The ability to do this sort of thing.
Who knows? Maybe in Diablo 3.
If you like to play an online Diablo, this is going to be right up your friggin' alley.
No, World of Warcraft is right up your alley. telling you, that is Diablo.
If you're looking for something that's going to keep you sucked in for the next 4 years, playing 8 hours a day.
I don't think Guild Wars is going to be able to pull that off.
No.
I don't think so either. It didn't.
And that's why I'm kind of putting it in its own, like, little category. It's not really the same class of game.
Hmm.
Not in a bad way, just in a different
way. Yeah, okay, it's different. It's not, yeah, I mean, and some people love it. Some people absolutely are going ape shit over this game.
Some people went ape shit for all kinds of, for years on Diablo, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What did you play when you played?
I played an Elementalist, Necromancer, and a Warrior Monk.
I played a hot chick Necromancer Elementalist. It was badass. It was pretty cool, but my problem, I had a big problem with the combat, and it was only because, like, I mean, I was gonna try to spend, I wanted to spend, like, a full day, like, 12, 18 hours into this game, but I couldn't because I just didn't have time because I had to work the whole time. It was out. It really sucked. But, so I got to run around by myself, though, for a little bit, running around town and whatnot, and, I remember going out into some zone where there was, like, a shitload of people packed into the front of it, and they were setting up groups to go do something. So I realized, okay, well, this is obviously, these are people getting ready to go out and do some kind of instance zone thing. They're going to go out, and they're going to go do whatever the hell it is they're going to go do, but, this is the instance thing. I thought, well, I want to see the world as a whole. I want to go out to where there's people just running around. So I went to the other side of town, whatever town they had in this world preview thing, and it was only me. It was only me out in this whole place. Now, I don't know if that was because there just wasn't anybody else out there, or because I was in my own little world, which is stupid.
That's that town that you were in with all the people gathering around, that was like the chat room in Diablo, only with graphics.
That's nuts. If they're going to try to make this game like, I don't like that at all. I like wandering around the world and running into random dudes.
Yeah.
I dig that. That
that's
makes
part
you
of the
feel,
immersion that,
yeah, exactly.
that is missing.
Absolutely. It makes you feel like you're in a friggin' world, not in some video game where this is my little section of it, and if I want to trade some shit with other people, I can go to town?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of crap is that? I was not happy.
I may be wrong, and there might be some zones that are just open, but I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, there's gotta be something. There has to be something. They can't keep it all broken up. I guess they could, but I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll find out more as we go, and I imagine somebody's gonna write us in a review or something.
Mocker!
Yeah. He's kinda hooked on this game. So, I imagine we're gonna hear more about it later, see if we can't get him on the show. The problem is, calling Norway is gonna cost a gazillion dollars, so that's not gonna happen. So, I don't know. I really wanted to play it more, though, but I still wasn't all that impressed. I wasn't super happy with it. It didn't seem like it was great. The camera was pretty cool. Like, I didn't run into too many problems with it. Once in a while, I'd get, like, sucked through something to where I was looking, like, out of the inside of a rock. And I remember crossing a bridge where it had issues trying to cross the bridge. The camera did. It was strange. It was weird. And the combat, being a mage, and I'm soloing, basically, you know what I mean? And they started you at level 15, by the way, just so you can run around this world and not be a total noob. But I wanted that. I wanted to get a feel for the character creation. And the limited time I had to play this, I couldn't even make a level. There's so much shit I had to kill to go from level 15 to 16 that could not be done in the little amount of time that I was allotted to play. So I didn't get a feel for the character creation at all, which I really, really wanted to. I really wanted to see how to build and develop your character and what choices you made on your guy, you know, made him come out to how you wanted your character, you know, and I just didn't get any of that. The combat, I had to stand up there and swing with the best of them because I was soloing, so the monster would rush me, of course, and I could cast spells. And I had some neat spells, you know, but it seemed like I used the elementalist spells more than my necromancer-type spells. And it, I don't know. It seems pretty cool. Like, I was having a good time, but I didn't get a feeling like I was in another world. Like, right. I want when I'm playing those kind of games. Like, Final Fantasy did to me.
But that's what I'm saying. That they're marketing this as that kind of game, and it's just not.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this, though. I'm not.
I think it looks like a really good game. It's just, it pales to expectations because of what they're trying to make it.
Yeah. Well, fuck them. I'm not gonna play it, I'm sorry.
If you like Diablo, check this shit out. Because this is... I think this is gonna be really good.
And if you like Diablo, World of Warcraft, I swear to God, this game plays like a perpetual world, persistent online world Diablo to me, full world. This is the only thing I can say about this game, is it felt like I was playing goddamn Diablo.
Yeah, I was, with my mage, I felt like I might as well have had an AK-47.
I know! It's just retarded. I don't see why everybody, I don't want to say everybody. There is the EverQuest camp still. There is the World of Warcraft camp going on, and I see them, and they're warring like nuts, and you know, hey, you're gonna play the game you like.
Mm.
That's fine. You know, so there's nothing that I can say, cause it's my opinion. I don't like the way the World of Warcraft plays out. Fine. You know, I'm wrong in some people's, just like the election. What's great? Then I get chewed out on the phone by people that think I support one candidate. When they have no idea. And I'm listening and I'm putting up with it and finally I'm like, you don't know who I would have voted for had I not had the day off and been too lazy to go out and vote, do you? And they're like, oh, who? Shit. Okay. Anyway, just like that. This is, you know, hey, you gotta form your own opinion and play it. I'm just, you know, this is what we saw of it, and World of Warcraft was Diablo with Warcraft skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like to me. I mean, it was, and zoomed in a little bit. it was not what I was looking for in an MMORPG. I want to be sucked into a real, alive place. It feels like D&D. That's what I'm missing. You know, that's mm-hmm. what I missed since I haven't played Final Fantasy. World of Warcraft didn't do it for me. Guild Wars sure didn't do it for me. And I got hooked quick when I played Final Fantasy. Dark Age of Camelot didn't do it. Ultima Online didn't do it. Final Fantasy sucked me in like it was nuts. But anyway, supposedly, World of Warcraft, November 15th. And you know what's scary? This month is huge. You should see the I don't really have notes yet, but I have like the list going, like starting for next week's notes. It's big. It's Halo. It's fucking Metal Gear Solid 3. It's big. It's nuts.
That's because it's November.
It's
next month is Christmas.
This is a fun month for us and for all the listeners, so be prepared for some good shit, because this stuff's coming up
quick. The next couple weeks.
Yeah, oh yeah, the next couple weeks are dope. They're awesome. And, EverQuest 2. November, I can't help but smile when I say that. It's like saying the word panties. See? Say it right now, just wherever you are, panties. Tell me you're not smiling.
In fact, scream it.
Scream it, there you go. Panties. You gotta smile. Alright, EverQuest 2, November 8th. And we will absolutely, most definitely, let you know what server we wind up on
So anybody who wants to come play with us can.
Yeah, absolutely right away. I'll put the server name up there and probably character names and any other pertinent information about it. We might even have to do a special show next week dedicated to just EQ, like in addition to a regular show or something. Or something. Yeah. I don't know if the schedule's, because I'm hella busy at work next couple weeks. So, well, whatever, we'll see what'll happen, but... because we have to coordinate with a few other people too, so it might not be like 10 seconds after release that we have it posted, so bear with us. We'll have it up there within a day, I'm sure. It will be quick. If not, check on the forums. I might be able to be at work and post it if I find out what server we're going to be on before I can get home to post on the front page, if you're dying to find out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And Guild Wars, the date I had on Guild Wars is February 1st, so that's still quite a ways away. That's a long time. If you ask me, they all need to wait till then. If you ask me, I really believe that World of Warcraft needs some more polishing, and EverQuest absolutely needs more polishing.
These games can only get so much polish and so much work done on such a limited release. You have to realize, we're talking millions of lines of code here. We're talking huge world, we're talking all kinds of complexities, and stuff's not going to surface properly until they get it out there in the open. And
that's true. But there's a lot of stuff that I feel they could have done. But we'll see. I know. I'm just trying to keep it on the time here, and I realize that we're not keeping up to speed. So another thing I wanted to say, we had a little bit of a discussion, or I had, with a friend of mine who loves the Grand Theft Auto series.
Mm.
And he had a few things to say, and here I was, no, you're wrong, dude. I'm telling you, San Andreas blows. Don't waste your money. Wait till it goes down in price. But he loves the series. So he did go out and he bought it right away. And like the next, 2 days later, the only line I see from him, or the first line I see from him on IRC is, you know, C4, I think you're right. And this is coming from somebody who loves the series. Now, he's not saying that everything I say is, or obviously that's not the case. But there was a few points that he mentioned to me that I wanted to bring up here that I thought were very interesting. First of all, he picked it up just because, okay? This is how much of a fan he is. He bought it because it was Grand Theft Auto. Mm. Okay, so regardless of ratings and price, he bought this game because it was Grand Theft Auto. What he really wanted to say was that it was his biggest thing is that it's too complicated. It's overcomplicated for a Grand Theft Auto game. It's not an RPG. Okay, which is a really good point. Now, when I was fighting this thing, I'm saying that's a good thing. The character creation, the stat building, all that's awesome. It adds, you know, it puts you in the world, adds a little bit of control for you and your character, and gets you more involved. But this isn't an RPG. This game doesn't need that. This game needs more guns, different cars, more quests, things to do, more people. It doesn't need stats and food, and it doesn't need...
Alright, so now, as far as stamina and muscle go, which is the first things you can really build up, it took me 20 minutes to max them both.
Oh, really?
Food, I have
not... Yeah, but do they go up later?
Huh?
Do they go up more later? Like, you maxed it for where you are now, do they go up later?
No, but it goes down a little bit if you don't use it.
Okay.
So, every once in a while, you head up to gym, you pump iron a couple times, bam, you're right back up. And stamina, you're running around all the time anyway. And once it's up, it's up.
Not if you're me. I'm lazy. I steal everybody's car.
And as far as food, yes, if you don't eat often enough, your health will start to degrade. I have never seen my health go down because I eat when I'm hurt.
Uh-huh.
So in Vice City, for instance, you were hurt, you had to go find a heart. You had to know where that heart was.
Yeah. Now you can just go find McDonald's.
McDonald's, and it's on the frickin' map. You go find McDonald's, you grab a hamburger, you're good to go.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad.
This is not that overcomplicated.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't get into it to take a look at it too deep myself. I just saw it and thought, well, this is cool. It adds a little stuff to do, but it better be very, very minimal. Another good point he said, he loves all the new stuff. It's amazing, adding in the ability to swim and climb about fucking time.
Right. Yeah, climb up fences and stuff.
I have to agree with that. That should have been in from the start. Another thing he didn't like was before you only really had to worry about the cops coming after you. Now you have that added with, where's the nearest restaurant? Because you're running around getting shot at, getting killed, your health is falling down, you gotta go find Mickey D's.
Where was the heart piece? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I guess. The food give you instant health? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was under the impression you still had health kits or something. And the health you needed, the food you needed to keep up your stamina so you didn't lose health.
No.
Okay.
It gives you health. And if you eat when you're hurt, you'll never need to go find a restaurant just because you're hungry.
Okay.
At least not so far.
So far? Alright, well. Cops are everywhere, unlike before. It does make it more intimidating to go on a rampage, which to me is what the game became. After like 2 hours of playing, I got bored and it was nothing, but it was just like the other two just like it, running around killing things. It doesn't like that you can't steer the car with a D-pad anymore, and some of the guns don't auto-target, and it was kind of a pain in the ass to use the auto-targeting when trying to move and trying to shoot at the same time. But this is coming from somebody who loves the game, though. Just a few points that he wanted to bring up that, for whatever reason or another, stood out as something, you know, that he felt that he should, you know, just mention. And I thought, well, you know, I should use that because I like to rip it up because I can't stand the game and do not feel that it's worth all the acclaim and everything that it gets. So, it needs to be torn down. Somebody's got to keep the balance. Might as well be me, you know? Hey.
I was going to say, I think you tear it down a lot more than it should be. It's a better game than you give it credit for.
Absolutely.
And a worse game than a lot of people give it credit for.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. I tear it down mainly, so far anyway, only because everybody tells me it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe we're waiting for Jesus and here he is. That's why, you know, it's like, no, you fucking morons, okay? You're missing a lot to make this game that good. But enough about that. We gotta get started on our games here. But The Bard's Tale is out, and I haven't been able to get a hold of it yet. I've been trying. Every single day, I've been to Blockbuster.
I saw the second title for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
The buy title, or whatever call that. What was it? The Quest for Coin and Cleavage?
Yeah. you should see some of the ads. The ads are hilarious for it. They're great. But I can't get it. I've tried and tried and tried. I even finally went to a Hollywood Video.
Did they at least carry it and it was out? Or
no. The Blockbuster here has it. Has two PS2 versions, one Xbox version. The Blockbuster down by my work doesn't have any of it. And the Hollywood Video, which is square in between. Dude, have you ever been in there to rent games?
Uh-uh.
They have... Okay, how much does Blockbuster have in games? Like two shelves, maybe?
Yeah, two and a half.
Two and a half shelves? Okay. This place has like fucking eight.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. I walked in there and I was like, oh man, I'm never going to Blockbuster again. Yeah. There's nice. Like 8 shelves of games. A whole 1/6 of the store, maybe an 1/8 of the store is fucking games.
Nice.
Yeah, so remember that. Next time you want to go rent a game, go there. Fucking Blockbuster can suck my ass, so. But anyway, they have it, they can't get it in. It's always rented out. You know, thanks to that rewards card thing they have, or whatever the hell it is, the rental card, whatever.
So Hollywood Video has that too?
No, they don't have the game, though. I didn't see it there. They have every other game, though. It's nuts. But anyway, hopefully, I've got it coming. It should be here tomorrow.
Ah, Gamefly.
Gamefly. It never fails. It should be here tomorrow.
Cool.
So next week, assuming we don't have a mega week with news next week and game reviews and information at least, who am I kidding? Reviews. we should be able to talk about, hopefully, The Bard's Tale. Because I've been dying to play it, and my efforts were in vain. I couldn't get it. I tried everything. And it actually shipped, so it should be here tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
So, moving along with the games.
Alright, so I've been playing the single-player Tribes Vengeance. I haven't really gotten into the multiplayer, but it's fun. This game, it just is all there is to it. It's fun. I had never played Tribes 1 and 2. It's probably pretty similar. You got the jetpacks and the skis.
Yeah,
and
that's what makes Tribes, though, yeah. Really, is flying. Is getting on the top of some big-ass mountain, flying down it as fast as you can. Well, skiing down it.
Right.
Hitting some tiny little bump. And shoot across the whole fucking map.
Shooting people while they're on the ground.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It's a blast.
It's a lot of fun.
I play. In fact, those were my first big LAN party games. Like, real big ones. Not, like, including, like, Doom and old-school games and stuff. But, like, this was big. This was, like, a lot of people would get together and play this crap.
But the single player is actually a real single player game.
Unlike the first two. They didn't really have, like the first one I don't think had anything. The second one had like training or some crap.
Yeah.
I never went through it. I didn't need to.
It's not like Quake Arena or Unreal Tournament where it's just the multiplayer game but against bots. This is actually
a story and
levels and it's like a normal single-player game, and it is a lot of
fun. What
are
the levels like, though?
They're like any other FPS. They're
Oh, really? Like, you have to go from point A to point B to get a key to open the door at some point? Or?
I haven't gotten to anything where I have to worry about keys, but it's...
And there's, like, just dudes you kill, and...
Yeah, dudes you kill, and objects that you have to...
See, I thought it was going to be hella tournament style.
There is a section of the single-player so far, and there might be another section that was tournament style, where you played the multiplayer-type game. Because I guess you play this one character and it's a tournament, like the story of the multiplayer. You're playing in a tournament, and so you're playing that, but there's more to it, and it's the grappling hook seems like it's a lot of fun. I just got it and haven't really gotten to stick around with it yet, but like you can grab people in the air and bring them down. And when you're flying with your jetpack, you can if you're good, you can grab the flag and pull it on the way through. Yeah.
Can you hella Spider-Man it though? Like, can you just whooshing, whooshing, and then just keep going and never hit the ground?
If you got really good, maybe. Like I said, I've only gotten.
That's what's important to me is the Spider-Man effect because that's what makes a game like Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
That's what made it for me. I never touched the ground. You know, if I could, I would avoid it at all costs. It was dope. That's cool. So, well, maybe next week we can talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Or something, only because I'll have played it then too, and you'll have played it more.
Right. I've only put maybe an hour and a half in tops.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll talk about it more later.
Okay.
Only because we actually had less time than I thought. Still a whole lot of crap to talk more. We had more movies than I thought we had to talk about too. We played a little bit more of Outrun 2. Rented that. I thought it was $50, but I guess it's only $40. And, you know, hey, at least they're not trying to pass this off as a $50 game, because it is not a $50 game, in my opinion. There's no way. The graphics are great. The sound is pretty decent. It's a good arcade racing experience. It really is. It's fun. It is fun. The courses, there's just not a lot to them. They're Outrun.
Like a course, kind of.
You know, well, yeah, I mean, you have different paths you can take, but, I mean, there's no, like... It doesn't even give you like a 3D feel. It gives you that feel again that you're just going straight down some road with occasional turns and twists in it, you know, just like Outrun always has, which is fine. That's what Outrun is, you know. So hey, whatever, you know. It just unfortunately it's hard to look at it and say, this is such a fantastic game on its own merits, when you're looking at other games going, my God, this blows something like that out of the water.
Mm.
On its own merits, it's pretty good. There's a lot of little mini games for it. I didn't really care for the multiplayer and the handoff, the hot seat handoff control thing.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know why they would even bother to throw that in there. I mean, maybe it as an option, but not like the only thing that we saw. There was no like option to do like a two control thing. You just always had to hand off the controller guy, which, you know, hey, whatever, if you only have one control, that's great, but if you have two or three or four, why would you need to hand off the control all the time? I hate people and their fucking greasy ass sweaty hands. Then I get a hold of the control and it sucks. That's why I find, like, we do that in fighting games a lot. Like, my whole life, everybody I know, there's always like an odd number of people to play a fighting game. So we always do a...
The King of the Hill thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, if you lose, you're out, right? I found the solution to keeping my controller okay. I don't lose. So, that solved the problem for me. This game is fun, though. I want to say it again. It's fun. It's just not as good as most of the stuff you can get out there for about the same cost as a brand new game anymore. But the end all of it is that it feels old. It feels like an old game. It looks new, but it feels old still. It's fun, but it's not everlasting fun.
I think that was probably their goal.
It was their intention. It's Outrun 2. It's supposed to be like that. So, I mean, they did a good job of what it was supposed to be. But it's just so hard to go back to that, you know? I mean, imagine if we went back, you know, from where we are now in the Zelda series. Imagine going back to, like, oh, I guess this is a horrible example. I was going to say, like, the original Zelda style, but even that's still great. But it's not a $50 great, though. You know, like this.
Compared to Wind Waker.
You know, yeah. But this just isn't quite spectacular like I wanted it to be. So I would say, and if I find this for $25, I'd pick it up. 25 out of 40. I would definitely pick it up. Now, if you want to rate on a scale of 50, like most games, this would bump it up to about 35 out of 50. It's not a bad game by any means. It's just not spectacular and not worth full price. It's just, well, what they want for it. I would feel ripped off paying $40 for this game. $20, maybe a little bit shy because it does a damn good job of what it does do and what it's supposed to be.
Mm.
And then you've been playing Beyond Good and Evil on the PC, of all things.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be picking up the console because it definitely deserves to be on a console.
This poor game. Now, we've got actually some old games coming up, and it's only because that's all we've somehow managed to play this week because they were fun. So...
Yeah.
If you haven't played these, you're going to have to go back and take a second look at them because you're really, really apparently missing out if you haven't played Beyond Good and Evil.
Beyond Good and Evil, it's...
It's a year old now, too, isn't it?
Something like that.
This month.
It was like $20, like almost right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Like, it fell almost immediately, which is really sad because this is a top-shelf game. It's a lot along the lines of Zelda. Okay, you have very simple combat moves. And puzzles and things like that. And so if you like Zelda, this is a must buy. This is, go out and find it.
Really?
And pick it up. Because this is a lot of fun. One of the big aspects of it is a lot like Pokemon Snap, actually. You have to take pictures of,
Oh, Christ.
No, they do a good job. Somehow it's fun.
Somehow it's fun?
Somehow it's fun. Because A, it's not the only thing you're doing by any stretch. It's just a side thing. It's a way to make money.
Yeah, what's the point of it?
The storyline goes that there's a alien race that is attacking your planet, and a second alien race that comes and says, "Oh, we'll protect you." That's what we do. We're fighting this other race, and so we'll come protect you.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out rather early in the game, so I can say this, that they're actually probably in cahoots. The two alien races. And so your job is to find all this out and stop them both from doing what they're
doing.
Sounds
like you're like a reporter.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Okay.
Kind of.
Hmm.
The reason why you're taking the pictures and stuff is you're sending for a database of biological creatures to some scientific research facility.
It sounds pretty cool.
The combat is real simple. Like, there's only one button, and you direct which way she's going to attack. But she does a lot of really cool moves, and it just gives you the feeling that you're really doing it.
That's cool.
And so, yeah, it's because the combat is kind of a side thing, just like the pictures are. And so you also have kind of this one part where you're in a like a hoverboat, and that's how you get from place to place. And that's pretty cool too, because it's got guns, and so there's certain situations where you're in.
Oh yeah, shooting. I saw a video of that.
And there's races in this thing, and there's a lot going on, and they do a pretty darn good job of pulling it all together and doing a good job of each part. Because a lot of games they try to overextend themselves and do different parts, and it doesn't quite fit right.
Yeah.
Or some parts are just not as good as others, and they did a really good job.
I'm gonna have to check this out because I've been hearing good things about it since it was released, and it slipped under my radar only because, you know, when it came out, the heavy hitters came out also, the ones that everybody expected to be good. That's what everybody saw and wanted when these games all came out. And this is unfortunately, you know, what happens sometimes when you gotta choose your release date carefully.
So this is a $50 game that you're gonna pick up for $20.
Nice. Okay. Doesn't sound like you can go wrong there.
No.
Huh. Any recommendations on a console? Or?
Well, Xbox is supposed to be the best just for graphics and stuff. I would say, for the most part, pick whatever one you like controller the best.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. And mind you, the GameCube controller is minus a button. It's short a key than all the rest of them are.
So I don't think that's an issue.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I didn't know how much that would play into it, so. Okay. And I don't know.
It's actually missing 3 buttons.
Is it really missing that many?
Well, at least compared to the PlayStation, because it also has, does the Xbox, the analog sticks push in?
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right, they don't have that on
the GameCube.
Yeah.
So it's actually 3 buttons that's missing.
Damn, do you use those in the game? Oh, you've been playing the computer version, which you can't use a damn controller for.
Yeah.
What the hell is the thought process there?
Because this game was designed very specifically for a controller.
I've seen screenshots of all the versions. And by far, the computer whoops the ass of all the rest of them.
I'm gonna be going down in graphical prowess.
Yeah, but at least it'll play better, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it plays better, it'll be totally worth it. Yeah. But it just seems to me that, like, oh man, I've seen it look good. I know it can look this good, and then now I'm reduced to playing on my Xbox, you know, and I don't know. It looked pretty good on the Cube, too. Yeah. The PS2 version didn't look so hot, though. I bet it's still fun, though.
It's pretty funny. And it's got good style.
Nice.
And it's definitely worth picking up. Especially if you like the whole Zelda style of game. Mm-hmm. The puzzles and the dungeons.
That's sad. That's really sad, though, when this happens to a game. Like, I'm kind of stuck on that for some reason. That, like, this game should have been just amazing, and everybody just looked right past it, including myself, you know?
And this is why we get so many GTA knockoffs. And,
exactly.
And this, that, and the other. It's because it's what sells.
Another
and,
Doom.
Yeah. It's what sells, and that's really sad. People need to open their eyes, and obviously I'm just as problematic with this as anybody else because I missed this game.
Oh, we're blinded by the hype. You walk into the store and you see a cardboard cutout stand-up of the next Doom game or the next, you know, of Half-Life coming up and posters of Grand Theft Auto everywhere. Never did I see anything up for Beyond Good and Evil. Not once.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like I would have had to get lucky and happen across it in the store, you know, and then know something about it from a review or something, you know, and all the big review places seem like they love the game too, and they gave it great, you know, scores, and it's just like, wow, okay, this game's awesome. What happened to it?
The sad thing is this was supposed to be a trilogy, and I don't know if it's going to make it or not, but I think if sales over the course of time are high enough and they get enough positive feedback, they might try again with the second and see if...
Let's hope so.
And see if popularity hasn't increased.
Let's hope so. It's sad to see this happen. You know, here's a game that I overlooked. And I don't know how I overlooked this, because this had C4 written all over it.
Yeah, it did.
And you know what really turned me off was it looked like a 2D side-scroller for some reason when I was first looking at it, and I think it was the cell shading screwed me up.
Mm. It's very good cell shading, though.
It is. Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus.
Mm-hmm.
This is an older PlayStation game. It's $20. You can pick it up as a greatest hits version now. Mm-hmm. This game, I borrowed Kobar's version because he insisted that I play this game. And I was like, yeah, I keep hearing good things about it. I don't know, giving some kind of bullshit excuse every time it came up. I don't know why. It just didn't look so great to me, and I heard good things about it. I'll tell you what, when I finally got my hands on this and sat down to play it, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
This is one hell of a kick-ass platformer. This is the game that we were missing for the last couple of years, or that I was missing for the last couple of years, that I needed to fill that platformer hole, you know, that I had since Mario Sunshine kind of left it empty. Mm-hmm. This game blew my mind. The whole thing of it is, if you don't know, you play as a raccoon, and your best friends are like a hippo, Bentley,
and turtle.
Murray's the hippo, and the little turtle guy is Bentley, yeah, who's like the brains of the operation, the hippo guy, brawn of the operation, and you're the thief. You only play the thief, you run around a sly, and it's just awesome. They have... Well,
you kind of play Bentley in one little section, kind of.
Oh yeah, when you're doing the Tron hacking thing or whatever, yeah, kind of. You're more playing like Smash TV or something, right. But it's supposed to be him hacking into a computer, but it's cool, because the game does have a bunch of little mini-games, not a lot. There's probably like six or so little mini-games.
It's actually a pretty good...
It does, because it breaks it up. Yeah. Every now and again, you're like, oh, cool, I can just go do this for a little while, you know, instead of more of the same, which is good more of the same, but still, you know, it was nice to break it up every now and again.
There's not too many of them.
And you kind of play Murray when you do the races.
Yeah.
There's two races that you had to do, you know, and you drive a truck and he's driving, so, I mean, you kind of do play, but see, for me, that was enough of them.
Right.
Because I wanted to get back to the whole sneaking around, being... stealthy part, you know, that I liked so much. I wanted to be back in, you know, into those shoes, but it was nice to break it up every now and again and not have whole huge sections of game on these other guys. Mm-hmm. This one, it's cel-shaded though, so you kind of got to get over that, but they did a really damn good job.
It's
really good job.
The cel-shading is done really well, and it fits the mood of the game.
I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The whole story of this is basically you come from a family of thieves, right? And then some bad guys, they want to take the book that teaches you basically, or that has the moves of the master thieves in them, right? Mm-hmm. Thieves in them, which is the Thievius Raccoonus. And I guess these bad guys kill your father and take the book from you, and each take part of the book. So of course, you know, this is where the game comes into play. You got to go after each individual, you know, big bad guy and get your book back, get pieces of the book. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because, you know, you go... Like, you find out, okay, one guy has a place here. This is where this guy hangs out. So you go to, like, the swamp area or whatever. And then all the levels are kind of themed around that, but they're brilliantly designed, because none of them play the same.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, it is. It's amazing. In each level, there's, like, a safe that you can crack the safe. And to do that, you have to go, like, very little collection in this game. You know, as opposed to, like, Mario, where there's, like, 500 things to do. There isn't. There's one thing you have to collect in this. You have to get to the end and get the key. And on your way... pick up, like, the little code bottles, which are basically, like, clues to what the code is, which you never actually see a code. You just have to get 30 of them, basically. Then you can open the safe.
This was the first game and first collection system that I was glad was there, because it made me stay in the levels longer. It actually helped me play longer, and I was glad it was there.
Yeah, and it wasn't hella overkill like Mario, where you go back to the same goddamn level five or six times to pick up different shit. You know, I mean, that kind of gets old. I'm not too big on that, running around collecting more of the same in different parts of the level even. Or, you know, like, or if you go to one place and you can't get back to the rest of the world, and now you've got to come all the way back and start all the way over again and go get the other stuff. You know, no, this is just, you can get it all in one tear through, you know, and pick up all the items, all these little bottles of code, I guess.
The codes are in the box.
And then basically Bentley allows you to... He figures out the code, and you open this thing. Anyway, there's a piece of the book in each one of these things. Mm-hmm. And they give you various cool things, you know, like some kind of little bonus. Like whether it's a move...
I think most of them are moves.
Most of them are moves.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, most of them are moves. There's one per whole area. There's only like five major areas, but in one of those... In like seven levels in each area. Mm-hmm. And in each big area... One of those things is like a blueprints for the whole area, so that when you're looking through your binoculars, you can actually see breakable items and enemies and stuff and collectible items.
Oh, right.
They're kind of highlighted. So it makes it easier to find the clues once you find the blueprints.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back and get them if you didn't get them the first time. It's a little bit easier because some of them are pretty well hidden. I had to look around quite a few times with some of them. Some of them... First run through, no big deal. A lot of the time I'd come back in and try to find the last two or three that I missed. Still, it's fun as hell though. Sly is, the controls, I mean, this is what controls are all about right here.
Definitely.
Perfect controls, except for one thing I thought. Sly controls perfectly. It's the moves that are not so well oriented to the buttons, let's say. Like, when you start out, it's simple. You can swing your little cane, you can jump, and you can do all the little super sneaky thief move things, which are perfect, by the way. It kind of gave me...
circle.
You know, yeah, you hit circle, and he does whatever it is that you want him to do. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. You know, if you come up on something where you need to, like, crouch underneath it, you hit circle, and he crouches. If you need to, like, you know, shimmy along the side of a wall... You know, like a very thin ledge along the side of a wall. He hits circle, and he's there. He's up against the wall. I mean, it's perfect. They know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so
at first thought, you think, well, that's a little too simple, but it's not. It makes you feel like you really are a master thief.
Yeah, because the moves, they're perfect. You know, the buttons are easy to hit. When you're jumping in the air and you see like a spire, like a point, mm-hmm. and if it's one of the ones you can land on, you hit circle, and he lands on it. I mean, it's perfect. It really gives you the ability to do all this really cool stuff in this game. The only bad thing I thought with the control end of it was, you know, you go and you open these safes and you get moves. You get like a diving roll. You get a roll too. You can like roll up into a ball and roll around. Then you get like a modification of the roll. Then you can get you get all these weird little moves like this. You get the mine hat thing, you take your hat off and throw it, and then you hit the button again and it blows up. Mm-hmm.
You can throw out a shadow of yourself, like a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
And the monster will go after that instead of you.
It's really cool stuff. But I've discovered that, one, I didn't need any of that. Not one time did I use any of that crap. Not the roll, not any of that. Just the jumps and my basic attack, and I beat the game with no trouble.
You have to do that because all those extra stuffs were in the safe.
Yeah.
When you're designing a game, you can't make an optional move necessary.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it should have, like, greatly aided you rather than just be a cool thing. You know? It should have been worth it. Now, there was one that was worth it. Now, this is where my problem with the controls comes into play. Your special moves are done by triangle.
Right.
Right? Your basic moves are done by circle, right? Which are, you don't have them all, but you get the ones that are necessary. Like the spire jump, you have to get. You get that one.
Or the one where you're like Tony Hawk grinding.
Yeah. You get that because you have to have that. The optional ones are all controlled by triangle, and the way that you roll through them is L2 and R2, and you cycle through which special move you want to do. So it's tough if you wanted to get real tricky and throw out a mine, detonate it, hit the button once or twice, pull out your shadow, and try to sneak around. It's just, there's no simple, smooth way to do it, because a lot of times you forget which way you need to go, and you can't count the button presses of which one you want to land on.
I certainly don't know how else they would have done it.
I do. They could have made the mine throw right-clicking the middle thumbstick. They could have made the shadow thing left-clicking the left thumbstick. They could have used the L and R buttons a little better or something. They had other buttons and other configurations they could have used. To do the roll, they could have had to hold R and hit circle, or to do the... You know what I mean? There was other things they could have done where it was all available at once.
That's true.
Without overcomplicating it too terribly much. Like, you wouldn't need a button for slow and fast. Because you actually have, like, bullet time, which I actually used a shitload. That was the one thing I kept it on. When I was jumping, you would occasionally get into a jumping puzzle where we need to... You slow it down while you're in air, and later on you get where you're on the ground if you want, which I never used. Again, the only move I ever used that was one of the special moves, and I got them all, was only the slow time in the air one, because it would allow me to, like, aim my jump a little bit better. If I jump off something huge, I could slow it down and aim for an enemy a little bit better. The only thing I ever used. You had all this cool shit, though, which was still fun to dick around with.
I don't even remember which one I used the most. I think it was the roll.
I didn't use that, but maybe once, you know? Now, beyond that, though, I mean, the game is just short. It's
very short.
Way too short. It could have been double the size, and I would have been one happy camper. But as it was, it just felt like, damn it, I want to play more. But seriously, this game is $20 now. 20 out of 20, easy. When it was released, though, it was a $50 game. And I would have to say that I'm going to go with 45 out of 50 at the time. This game is near flawless. It really gets hit because it's short.
I'll agree with that.
The moves aren't very handy. They don't give you like a nice bonus. But I'd say everything else is flawless. The awesome level design, the way that you go about getting from point A to point B, like the cool shit that you have to do, genius. Genius. These guys need to be commended.
And it's not so easy. When I first started playing this game,
I didn't have any problem with it. No, I mean, like, nothing. Just like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted right here. Bam.
I mean, like, they don't coddle you as far as how many times you can get hit.
Yeah, one hit and you're dead.
Yeah.
You get killed in one hit, but so do the enemies.
No.
Except for the bosses, everything dies in one hit.
No.
Yeah, everything dies in one hit. I just played it, all the way through. Every single enemy dies in one hit, but so do you. So it is kind of hard. You know, there's nothing that you knock over and have to go back and attack more, except for the bosses. The boss fights, though, they were great. There was pretty cool boss fights. There was some pretty neat stuff there. You know, really, really good, solid, you know, boss fights there.
There was in the swamp, there's the tree things that are actually two monsters in one.
Okay, yeah, well, I guess you didn't have to kill those twice. But, I mean, you kind of knocked it apart and then hit each individual piece once. Right. But, see, everything else you just mow through. Different modes of play. You had, like, little shuttle things that you could fly around in, and shoot things was one of the mini-games. Mm. There was some pretty cool little mini-games there. You know, they had a race. They had that little Smash TV-type playing hacker thing that Bentley did. It was cool.
The voodoo swamp thing where you were in the hover boat.
Had to light up all the things. Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool. There was a lot of neat things there. When you beat it with all the things open, you're at 83%. With none of the Master Thief trials done, because those are impossible.
I never could get a single one.
I couldn't even do the first level.
Yeah.
You have like a minute and 17 seconds to beat the first level, and I can't do it. I can come within about 5 seconds of it, though. I can get to the door almost, and then I run out of time. So it's just so fucking hard. But, you know, if you really wanted to spend some time in it, there's always those to get that last 17% you need.
I tried using that ground slow time, or the speed up, the one where you slap the ground and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's when everything stops.
Yeah.
I tried a couple different things.
No, the trick is to roll. The trick is to roll and not get into combat. And that's, I can almost get there, but I don't know, I get hung up somewhere. It's just too hard. But I started playing the second one. Some of the big differences so far, I mean, I haven't even beat the whole first level yet, but I've done a lot of the things in that level. I'm basically one or two objectives away from beating basically the first level. Mm. It's mostly the same great game.
The first level or the first section?
Like the first zone. Like the whole, like in each zone, there's like 7 objectives. Yeah. Okay, there's like a lot of things you can do there. So that's different for one. Before you had like level, then you would have like a hub level, and you'd go to like a sub level in there.
So it's not like that?
No, this one's just a big ass level with a bunch of different shit to do. And a lot more Grand Theft Auto-ish. Just a big ass level. Unfortunately, that makes it hard on the PlayStation though. Loading such a big level, the loading time is worse, I noticed, and your draw distance isn't so good. You can't see as far anymore. So that when you're looking for those bottles, you fucking can't see him if it's right in front of you sometimes, you know? And then you walk right past it because your PlayStation didn't render it because it's trying to render everything else going on. That kind of hurts it right there. You got new moves, a bunch of new moves. The enemies take multiple hits to die. Most stuff you got to beat the piss out of to kill it, it seems like, because you're weak. You are weak. Things are strong. But there is a sneaky attack you can do from behind that will kill them. You basically hit one button and the other button, and you hit them once, knock them in the air, you hook them on your little stick, and then slam them into the ground, and they die. Yeah, it's cool. You can pickpocket things. You like, creep up behind the guy, and you're ripping money out of his pocket, you know?
See, that's kind of cool, the tougher, and then you can get the attack
like
of opportunity.
Backstab thing, yeah, it's cool. I mean, they did a good job of adding little things, too. There's different moves and stuff, too. I haven't unlocked any of this crazy moves bullshit, but there's already different stuff. You already have, like, 2 different attacks, even in normal combat. It's pretty neat. You work out of your hideout now. Instead of just like walking around a level and then going to the next level, you actually have like a hideout, which is like the hub of your operation. And if you need to, and you actually play the other guys now. You get to play levels where you're Bentley and have to do some kind of weird smart thing, whatever. And then levels where you have to use brute force and you get to control Murray. I don't like that though. I don't like running around as Murray and beating the piss out of stuff. You know, I haven't actually got to play Bentley yet though. But I like playing as Sly, and I would have been better off, I think, using just Sly. You actually buy shit with the coins you have now, and you have hit points. The coins before, if you got 100 coins, you could get like a lucky charm, which would allow you to get a hit once.
Right.
So that was how it was in the first one. Now the coins you save up and you buy shit like smoke bombs. You buy all kinds of weird stuff. It feels pretty solid. I just don't like playing the other guys, really. And the other thing I didn't like was the unlimited enemies. It seemed like there's always enemies everywhere you go, which is cool in a sense. But sometimes I'm trying to clear an area so I can take a second to focus on what the hell I'm trying to do. But it seems like, pop, the enemies will show up just a minute, you know, a few seconds later, one will come around the corner, and you're like, God damn it, I just killed 20 guys around here. Not that many. It's not that much combat. You know, but it's still a little more combat than I would have liked, I think, for this, but that's only because I sucked. I got caught. If you don't get caught, you're not in combat, so that's my own fault. Like I said, I'm only in the first level. We'll work on that one later. We'll talk about it more later. We actually had quite a bit more movies than I thought we'd had, so that's why I'm kind of pressing it, because we only have 15 minutes. First of all, the absolute first thing I must say, drawn together, the comedy, this cartoon on Comedy Central is fucking hilarious.
Hilarious. Absolutely.
I cannot believe this is on TV. This is almost worse than South Park.
In some ways, I'd have to say it is.
This
is as over the top as cable will go.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful though. I've seen like the first episode. There's only one episode.
Yeah. The next one is like
today. It's today. The third. I've seen the first one 3 times. I keep watching because it's so goddamn funny. It's like a reality show using cartoon characters.
Right.
You gotta see it.
It's like where they all get all the celebrities into one.
I have
house.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's a reality show.
Okay, well, it sounds like it sucks ass, but this is awesome. They've got like a Superman guy. They have like Link from Zelda. They've got a Ling Ling. He's like Pikachu.
Oh, Pikachu.
Yeah, they've got like a Betty Boop type character. They got a SpongeBob character. They've got Foxy Brown type. What's her name? Foxy Love. They've got all kinds of these crazy things, and it's a cartoon. It is hilarious.
Absolutely.
Absolutely worth watching. It's on Comedy Central. You will fall out of your chair with laughter. I saw 2 real movies. I just had to throw in a TV show because it was that good.
Yeah.
2 real movies. I actually got to finally see Van Helsing, which it seems like it gets a lot of crap. This movie, I keep hearing a meh out of it. Everybody just doesn't like it so much, and yet I heard a lot about it at the time it was coming out. You know, like they did a lot of the advertising, so it kind of, I picked it up, you know, I was like, oh man, I gotta see this. Never did in the theater, I'm not too big on that. I finally saw it yesterday, I watched the DVD, and basically it revolves around a character named Van Helsing, who's like a demon hunter. He hunts like bad things.
Right.
And he works for a secret sect, like an underground, he's got an underground hideout underneath a church and stuff. I thought that was really cool. Very 007-ish.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all these cool little tools and like a gas-powered fucking crossbow and stuff. You know, kind of neat stuff like that, but not too much bullshit like that. He wasn't using ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just had like a few things and, you know, sword and some guns and stuff. It was pretty neat. Not like ridiculous guns, though, you know. It was pretty neat. As far as the weapons and items go, he is basically out to purify the world. And in the beginning, he gets into a fight with Mr. Hyde, from, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which everybody's pretty familiar with. That whole fight scene was just awesome. I mean, I could not figure out from the start why this movie would suck. I was like, oh, man, that was great. Why does everybody say that this movie's not so great? It became apparent about 40 minutes in, when I was loving it, right? Like, he gets from there, he fights, you know, Mr. Hyde, and then he gets sent out to Transylvania. Mm-hmm. He's ordered to go kill Dracula, because Dracula's evil, and he needs to remove Dracula. But when he goes out there, the movie does a good job at first, and he's fighting vampires in this town, and the town's all scared, and they introduce that hot chick, what's her name?
Right.
Kate Beckinsale.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Helsing is Hugh
Jackman,
right? Yeah, Wolverine, right? Yeah, they do an awesome job. They do a great job, I thought. The problem was Dracula. I was under the impression Dracula was gay. I don't know why, but I was under the impression they made him gay. I thought he was kind of a homo. Now, he did have 3 wives, and they had a lot of children. Like, it was weird. And I don't, like, oh man, it was bothering me. And it's just like they try to crack all these jokes, and in some places they do great, and some places they bomb. And that's where I really felt that it dropped the ball. And all of a sudden you're just watching it going, I can't believe this just happened, because this movie has awesome CG. A fairly good story. Dracula didn't feel quite like Dracula to me. That was probably the weakest point. Everything else, fantastic. All the fight scenes were dope. The characters looked awesome. The moves and the shit they did, outstanding. Unfortunately, Dracula sucked. He made it so bad that I just could not enjoy it as well as I should have. However, I still would say it's better than most people are giving it credit for.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on exactly what...
It was Dracula. He was gay.
That very well could be it, but it seems to me there was something else that I just can't quite put my finger on.
I thought the rest was beautiful. Even his vampire wives were pretty awesome. They should have slutted him up a little bit more, though. That would have been cooler. But, I don't know. I would give it, out of $8, I would have paid $6 to see this in the theater and been totally satisfied. $8, I feel a little bit ripped off because Dracula kind of made it not so great sometimes.
I think this is a rental.
Yeah?
It's definitely worth the $2.
Borderline purchase for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Dawn, I'm trying to hurry
through
the movies,
right.
So that's why I don't want to linger. That's why I'm trying to blow through these. Dawn of the Dead, I saw also. Now, this, I was told by Hunter today that this was a remake. Apparently, there's an original Dawn of the Dead that I didn't know anything about. Probably like 30-year-old and sucks. I don't know, but Hunter's old, so it's great for him. I don't know about the old one, but this one, I guess, is a remake. I've never seen the original one, so I can't base it on that at all. I can't say anything about it, so take this with, you know, as if it's a new movie to me. And I don't know any of the actors in it, except for, like, three of the dudes, and I couldn't tell you who they were. It's got two dudes from Con Air in it, though. I know the one guy, the black guy, Ving Rhames. He plays a police officer. He plays Diamond Dog in Con Air. Then the kind of mean guy. The mean guy that was on Con Air that was kind of mean to Nicolas Cage's character. I can't remember. He's the guy he kills underneath. He kills the guy downstairs. It's that guy.
Okay.
And he's kind of an asshole in this, too. He's a security guard. And it's got, who I love. I love this actress. She's cool. Rana from the movie Go. I don't know what the hell her name is, but her name is Rana in the movie Go, which is an outstanding movie, by the way. Anyway.
Still haven't seen it. But
really? Oh, man. You got to watch that. It's great. Basically, what happens, one day, shit happens. Like, all of a sudden, it starts out with Rana. She works in a I'm going to call her Rana.
Okay.
She works in a hospital, and she sees people coming in for bite marks. And then all of a sudden, like, a couple hours later, they wind up, like, in ICU. And she thought that was kind of weird. You know, she's like, what the hell? He came in for, like, a dog bite or something. What the fuck? She goes home. Normal day. She, you know, she's friends with some of the kids in the neighborhood. You get the feeling it's a nice community. She knows all the people there. It's a good place to live. Her husband's there, her boyfriend, whatever. She wakes up that morning, and, like, the kid's standing in there in the hallway, and she's like, oh, what are you doing? Or her husband wakes up, and is like, hey, what are you doing here? And then the kid flies at the dude and starts biting into his neck.
Ah.
She panics. He turns into a zombie and starts going after her. So, like, all of a sudden, you're thrown into this right away, going, oh, my God. I mean, this is, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of the movie. You're just sucked into it. It's long, you know. It's pretty long. It seemed like I watched it, like, 6 o'clock this morning, so it just felt long, maybe. But basically, this felt like a survival horror movie. Not so much a horror movie as a survival horror movie. You're watching these people that are trying to survive. She gets out to her car. She runs into, like, the police officer guy, a couple other people, some black dude who's got a Russian wife or something who's pregnant, which is actually important to the story. And they all decide that the safest place is going to be the mall. They get to the mall. They find some security guards that are holed up there, right? They're not very friendly at all because they're scared shitless. But anyway, they end up breaking them into letting them in, you know, and they kind of set up shop there. And they kind of hole out for a little while. They have TV for as long as TV is still broadcast. They meet a dude across the street, Andy. I actually remember his name because it's said on the front of his building, Andy's Weapons or something. So, and, like, they do fun shit. Like, they end up playing chess. They can't talk to the guy. He's, like, a block and a half away. But they all have binoculars, so they write shit down and hold it up, you know, and they can read it. And then they play games. Like, they spot Jay Leno. In the crowd. And they're all, shoot Jay Leno. So Andy, you know, he runs a gun store, and he's an awesome shooter, so he's great marksman. So he shoots Jay Leno. And they're like, I can't believe he took him out. They even play chess and shit. I mean, they try to have a good time. While all this is going on, shit keeps happening. Of course, one of the guys got bit, didn't say nothing. He's infected. So now they have an insider infected. One of the coolest parts of this movie was when the lady that was having the baby, the black dude's Russian wife or whatever the hell she was, is having a kid. And this is almost about square middle of the movie, and it is an intense drama scene when this baby's being born and this guy is just, like, so happy, but his wife got bit. You find out early that she got bit. So it's fucked up. I mean, you're just like, oh, my God, you know, this can't be happening. And it happens, you know, and you're just sitting there. And I was so into it, and this is one of the strongest parts of the movie. And my Xbox took a dump. Yeah. It will not switch layers now.
Really?
Yeah. It'll try, and you'll get, like, one frame every couple of seconds with tons of corruption in it. It's messed up.
Have you tried any dual-layer games?
I don't have any dual-layer Xbox games. So not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm that far in either. But I'm sure the same thing would happen, just like what happened with my PlayStation. It would try to read it, and it started to get a little funky. But this thing just flat takes a dump on switching layers. It doesn't handle it at all anymore. It would stutter over it before and eventually get over it. Now it won't even try. I threw it in my PS2, watched the rest of the movie flawlessly. Flawlessly. There was one little hiccup where the sound stopped for just like a tenth of a second when it switched layers.
Yeah, that's...
Gonna happen. So, you know, I mean, hey, I got over that. It worked fine on my PlayStation, my fucking Xbox, though, yesterday. So now it's gonna be sacrificed to the mod gods. I think it's time. It's time to see if I can't salvage what I can. Because there's no warranty. Microsoft wants $100. They can go fuck themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see if we can't survive and make a resurrect out of the Xbox anyway. But basically, they hole up there. They come with, like, a rescue plan. They want to, like, escape, you know, because they realize they can't stay there forever. They try to rescue their dude across the street and escape. And it's pretty intense. I was really, really enjoying this movie. Probably more than I should have. But I thought it was fantastic because what's the other movie that's just like it that was out almost exactly a year ago? It's just like it. Remember, it's like in the UK though, and some guy. Remember, and all the people are dead, and there's like nobody. What the hell? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's just like it.
Resident Evil?
No. This one's like something else, and I can't remember what. It's just like it. Almost spitting image. Some kind of plague breaks out. There's a group of people that somehow survive. They wind up going somewhere for help.
I think there's about 50 movies.
There probably is, but there was one about a year ago that was made huge headlines, and I thought it was terrible. Mm. Absolutely horrible. This movie, absolutely fabulous. I'm going to have to go again with probably the $6.50 out of $8 for this movie. I would have loved to have seen this in the theater on a big-ass screen with blaring music and stuff. You know, oh, that's the biggest flaw in this movie. The music is absolutely horrid.
Oh, yeah.
Horrid. Opens up with a country song,
Closes
with some terrible song. The only saving grace in it is that you don't really notice the music at the rest of it, and then at the very end, they play The Sickness by Disturbed.
Mm.
During the credits are rolling, though. And at first, when it ended, I was sure they left us hanging. Because they escape, they basically get out of the thing, and they try to make their great escape, and then it just, boom, credits start rolling. And you're like, no, what happened to them? And then it does kind of go on during the credits. So sit through the credits because it's worth seeing kind of what ended up after they tried to, you know, after what their big plans were and all that stuff. It's a damn good movie. Damn good movie.
Okay.
So.
I saw.
Saw.
And this movie, I have to say, I'm not a big fan of these kind of movies. So my review is going to be a little skewed. I don't like horror movies. I don't like any of this stuff. I don't like showcasing the worst of humanity as entertainment.
I do. That's the best.
And that's why I don't like reality TV, is because it's designed to bring the worst out of people and showcase it as entertainment. And I don't like it. But basically what this movie is you have this guy who decides he's going to go on this, like, it's kind of like Seven.
Oh.
Where, although not Sims, but he's decides that he's going to start killing these people that don't deserve to live.
In screwed up ways?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love this movie.
So it starts out...
Wait, hold on. Real quick, before we go on, because in a minute or two, we're going to get cut off on the stream. So if you're listening to this on Rant Radio Stream, we get cut off at exactly 90 minutes. So if you go to the site, hwhq.com, you can download right now. Probably I'll have it up there. I usually put it up right when it starts to air, just after it ends airing. I'll have the full thing of the show because we're going to go like 5 minutes over, like we did last week, where we get cut off, but you can still download the archives of the show and get the whole thing.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. So you have... It starts out in this room, and it's all dark. And this guy's submerged in a tub. And he wakes up, pulls out of the water, gasps for air, and there's another guy in the room that he finds out. Neither one of them know what the hell is going on. One of them was, like, going home from work, and the other one was doing something else, and then all of a sudden they wake up in this room.
Whoa.
And the lights turn on, and there's a dead guy in the middle with blood all over the place, and they're in this, like, subway bathroom, and, like, it's just
That's a good
dirty.
Description. I've seen clips of what sounds like that scene.
It's dirty and
gross.
It reminded
me of the bathroom of Fight Club. Remember the scene when they're in the bathroom and it's like all crappy? Yeah, totally reminds me of the house on Paper Street.
Except for it's like public bathroom. And it's like,
oh, okay.
And so it's like worse. It's gross. But and their ankles are tied by these huge, thick chains to pipes and stuff. So they can't reach each other.
Yeah, this is the clip I saw.
And that's where a good chunk of the movie happens.
Oh, okay.
Because the story is about them trying to escape.
Oh, okay. I thought it was about the guy. All right, the killer guy.
Right? Yeah, the killer guy is actually just kind of why it's happening. There's also cuts and scenes of the cops and what they're doing, and because he's the serial killer, they know. And also cuts of other people he's killed. Like there's one guy that he puts in the back of a room full of razor wire, and he has like 20 minutes to climb his way through that razor wire and get out the door before the door slams shut and locks.
That is awesome.
So he ends up, when the cops get there, sprawled in the middle of this razor wire, bled out. Like there's this one where this chick's got this reverse bear trap attached to her jaw, and she has to get the key out of a dead guy's stomach in 20 minutes in order to unlock the, and she's strapped to a chair. So she's got to rip herself off the chair, take a knife and dig into this guy's belly, get the key, unlock.
That's not so bad. That one's not so bad.
That's bad.
If they would have made her eat her way in to get the key, that might have been pretty bad.
He was alive, though. Like, he wakes up.
Oh! That's not so bad.
That was, like, one of the worst ones. Anyway, I did not like it.
Really?
But, again, I don't like that
this
kind of
movie.
This isn't
a theater, though, right?
Yes.
Crap. It's going to be, like, a year before I get to watch it.
It was a decent movie. Everything else, I don't really want to give away.
Okay, yeah.
I also saw Finding Neverland. Finding Neverland? Yeah.
What the hell is that? I don't even know what that's about.
It's about the guy who wrote Peter Pan.
About the guy?
Yeah.
That sounds even less fascinating than I thought.
Yeah, it's kind of a chick flick. It was pretty good. I thought it was clever. The way that he meets this family that has no dad and it's just the mom and like four kids and he starts playing around with the kids and it goes, it's a bit like Big Fish.
There is a movie I won't be watching anytime soon.
I thought it was pretty good. But it's just about how he discovered the idea for
Peter Pan.
It was pretty good.
Did you have a rating for either one of those by any chance?
Saw, I'm going to go ahead and not give a rating for it because I can't honestly give it a good one.
I need to exercise self-control like that.
I would give it a $1 out of 8. But that's because I don't like that kind of movie.
Yeah,
I sat there with a knot in my stomach and just all this stuff that I don't like.
Yeah.
So, Finding Neverland, I'm going to give it matinee.
The $4 price?
No, $5.25, $6.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't go to the theater. That's why. Right.
Yeah, it's worth going to see in the matinee, or at the very least, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. Well, the only other thing that we should probably end it soon anyway, because people are going to get cut off here. They actually probably did a minute ago, was fucking Team America, World Police. This was the most terrible thing I've ever seen. This was horrible.
I've heard nothing but this is the greatest movie ever, or this movie should be burned at the stake.
It's not even worth renting. This gets a quarter. If this movie came in one of those little 25-cent things out front of the supermarket, and you put a quarter in and I got that movie...
In the egg?
I'd leave it there. This movie sucks. It's stupid. It's pointless. It's lame. It's dumb. It's not even funny.
I haven't seen it, but I will be watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like it's a little more up my alley.
I could not tolerate this movie. I actually had such a hard time trying to watch it about 20 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I can't sit here through this movie. And I let it play while I was sitting there just, you know, entertaining myself in other ways. I could not watch this fucking movie. It was terrible. Terrible. Horrible. I can't say enough bad about it. Maybe if it was a dime... I would keep it in the collection. If it was in those little dime, maybe a nickel. Okay, if I found it on the street, I might keep it. Maybe. It was bad. I will never watch this again.
Huh.
Nothing, yeah. It was.
See, that's what I was saying. I've heard nothing but total opposite polar.
Yeah, I suppose if you were like all over... But see, I don't know. Like, I didn't like the South Park movie, but I liked the TV show. I didn't like... What was that other movie they did? The South Park... Oh, wait.
Basketball?
Orgasmo. Basketball? But I like... Basketball. It was awesome.
Orgasmo was pretty bad. There's a little too much man-ass.
But this movie was just pure crap. I'm sorry, guys. I like you guys, but you guys dropped the ball.
We'll see.
Good.
I'll watch it, and I'll let you guys know what I think.
Yeah, because it'll probably be a fair review. I don't know, though. I mean, I can go either way with their stuff. I kind of like it. Some stuff I don't. This was terrible. This was utter shit. So, well, yeah, we gotta go. Okay, bye.
All right.